Let us be kinder to one another.
It's good advice.
Yeah, I think so. It's kind of nice just to cross the board, everybody, take a breath. Sounds not like a deep breath with the smoke in the air, just a nice breath.
Sounds like a Beatles song or something like that.
Take a breath? Yeah.
No, be kind.
Oh.
Kinder. I'm sure there's something in there somewhere.
Could be. Probably have a special on it next week.
Somebody will write a song about it if they haven't already.
Oh, boy. Well, I'm a little befuddled and betwixt right now.
So tell us about the fires in Brookings.
We were up there Friday night, and then we also went up yesterday afternoon, been talking to the guys up there. The fire, for those who might just be getting the fallout, and I saw it down through Garberville on Thursday. The particulate matter in the air isn't the Orleans fire. It's the Chetco Bank fire that's going on. It's up to over 91,000 acres now. It's about 7 miles out east of town. They've closed the old highway north of Brookings to Pistol River and all the area from there to 101. They're suggesting don't drive if you don't absolutely have to because of the evacuation that's going on. On the north bank of the Chetco was evacuated down to Dayton Rock, which is about a 10-12 minute drive into town. It's as serious as the Biscuit Fire was or any of the other big fires that are going on in the area impacting, well, Crescent City and a whole bunch of communities. So,
now, earlier you mentioned having to drive through it and how challenging it was.
Oh, yeah, it was like driving at nighttime at 3 yesterday. Lights on, dark sky, the whole night. You look out to the horizon, and there was like maybe a thin little bit of white, and that was it. I mean, it just was really surreal. Some in town were talking about, like, the zombie apocalypse. The way the movies portray it.
Exactly.
That is kind of what it was like. It just was disturbing, I guess. That's my takeaway, is disturbing. So if you got folks up there, I'm sure that you're in contact with them anyway. But if you don't have to go into the area for the next couple of days or so, consider that wise. And let's put the eclipse in there, too, so everybody's driving through going up, and then they'll all be coming down on Tuesday too. So it's going to be an interesting situation.
Yeah, you were talking about the eclipse, and I have a friend who is talking about wanting to go up to Newport to visit a family member, and tried to book a hotel at a Holiday Inn or something like that, and the card price was $571 per night for a room up there. Because of the eclipse.
And they probably didn't have an awful lot of them to choose from. I had heard, I forget who the source was, so I'll just say through the grapevine, and that a lot of the rental car companies in the state of Oregon canceled everybody, trebled the prices, and then restocked.
Yeah. Wow.
So there's, they talk about the gas oil and the prices, at the pump or during some of the situations and the gouging part. I bet you there's going to be some kind of a follow-up on this one, too, from the state AG.
Well, it'll be interesting. Hopefully up in Newport, they don't have the fog.
The fog?
We have right now.
Yeah.
So I'm looking forward to watching the eclipse when the fog gets a little darker and then gets lighter again.
Well, I bet you Neyland would have a pretty good shot.
So it's almost good as fireworks, when you get colored clouds.
I was thinking about that, too. Tommy, over on Kika, we were talking this morning about that also, that, it seems to be a constant whenever there's some kind of a special something in the sky, astronomical event, we're going to have a thick fog bank. It is. Don't worry about it. It is.
It's required.
Yeah. It's obvious. Yeah. It's there's a hyphen somewhere. Got to happen. interesting. Well, what do you? I know a lot of businesses are anticipating not having employees there today, either the sick calls or being very inefficient, that kind of stuff. Do you guys have any special plans? Our guys are kind of more flexible, probably go out on the lawn, look at it, and go, okay, fine, it's over. Move on. Do you guys have anything special?
We don't. And as far as I know, of course, I left the office early this morning to come here. So as far as I know, we have a full staff other than just regular vacations. I'm not aware of anybody traveling to go see the eclipse.
Is your sister going to do a special party in your absentia? Apparently, out of sight, out of mind, huh?
There you go. There you go. So I'll probably watch it from my window, and because all I will see is the
dark,
the fog light, get darker and lighter. Yeah.
Ooh. Yeah. not to take shots at it, but for me, it's an almost a non-event for me. I mean, I don't follow that stuff.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting how excited people get about this and about other events too. That, you know, if it's not impacting you personally or friends,
right?
It's like, okay, next. But for those that are into it, I know it's a pretty significant deal.
Yeah.
So everybody be safe, be smart, you know, blah, blah, blah. Don't look at it.
And if it does clear up, yeah, be very, very careful about not looking at it.
Yeah.
When I was a kid, we would take mirrors and reflect it onto a wall so we could see how it happened.
Oh, and burn the ants at the same time.
There you go.
It's 8:19.
It's not the place they hope to be in spring training, but the San Francisco Giants have the rest of the summer to play, and they'll be bringing their exciting brand of ball to Kika Thunder Country 101.5 FM. They've got a lot of games left on the schedule against contending teams, and playing the role of spoiler is a definite possibility. Be tuned in for all the action all season long. Brought to you on Kins in part by Angelo's Pizza, Wyckoff's Plumbing, Electrical, and Hardware, and Living Styles Furniture.
Good morning, KINS News and Information Times 8:24. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby from Redwood Capital Bank. John, the concept of change is something that's unsettling for a lot of folks, and it's probably one of the more challenging things that higher in the corporate structure has to deal with, whether it's the anticipated change, let's say a bank branch being added, okay, versus an unanticipated change, and let's say a fire. Two completely different scenarios, lead time versus instantaneous reaction time, planning on both of them. How challenging is change to manage and to execute properly and to anticipate all of those variables that are out there?
So getting people, managing change has its own challenge. And generally people think of two basic means of implementing change in behavior. But I'm going to share those but I'm going to give you two more on top of that.
So we have A, B, and then 3, 4.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha.
Right. So generally we think of ways to implement change when change is necessary in our business or in our institution or, you know, our family, whatever it is. There's two ways to do it and I'll refer to it as the carrot or the stick.
All right, we got that one summed up pretty quick.
Exactly. Okay. So one is you will change this behavior or this will happen to you. You know, or you can't stay an employee or whatever. I mean, depending how important it is. The carrot is, if you implement this change and successfully, I will give you X, whatever it is. Extra days off, could be money, could be whatever. Whatever is important to that employee. So those are generally the two ways that we look at change, implementing change. Now, there was an interesting study that was done where they watched the neurons and all the activity in the brain when change was presented to a person, and where the activity takes, and takes place and so forth. And I am not, you know, this is not my field.
But you haven't lost me so far,
exactly.
So we're doing okay here.
So anyway, they're watching the brain activity, and when you introduce change, really bad things happen. and things shut down, and the nerve centers, you know, cognitive part of the brain isn't working. It's really a bad thing. People don't like change. And we hear that all the time. So-and-so doesn't like change. Well, generally, none of us like change. We like things the way...
Some predictability.
Right, exactly. Yeah. And so that's a very, very natural thing. So then they looked at change with carrots and sticks, found that generally people adapt more to carrots than sticks, but not a big difference. Not a big difference.
Change is still change, yeah.
The next way to implement change, and this is now that's one and two, so now we're on three and four, is to explain the necessity for change. So why is it that we're changing? Rather than, you know, Brian, from now on, I need you to wear your necktie wrapped around your forehead instead of your neck. Okay. And you would say, well, why do I need to do that? And, you know, I would say, well, it's because your forehead's bleeding and we want to stop the bleeding.
Well, thanks for saying it's not too large.
Yeah. Right? Yeah,
the shine is killing us.
Yeah exactly. Yeah. Okay. It's a glare issue.
Yeah.
So, but explaining why it is necessary, and so that tends to be more effective.
Wouldn't that be part of the setup of the other two? Just the presentation style?
It helps with the other two.
Okay.
The fourth and the most effective way to introduce change is for your employee or coworker, whoever it is, to discover the necessity of it on their own. So,
and embrace it.
Correct. So, well, generally, if they discover it themselves, see the necessity for it, there's a greater chance of them actually embracing the need for change. And so the easiest way to do that is to sit and discuss the problem. So, you know, we've got this change in the environment, this change in the laws, this product is no longer available to us. Customers are no longer buying this product. You know, and so then you sit down with the employee or with your group, whatever the circumstances are, and discuss it. And as they discover that, gee, we need to change the way we're doing it, then help discover their own solutions for it, you're going to have greater buy-in. And a lot of those bad things that happen in the brain, it all goes away.
More acceptance of the need for the change or the implementation of the activity that results in the change and the benefit for the customer?
The understanding of the need for the change results in more buy-in for the implementation of the needed changes in behavior.
And then it's a battle royal about how we're going to implement the change. Yeah.
It depends on the issues. Now, there are some changes that are so minor, you're not going to go through this process.
Yeah.
Okay.
But significant
blue ink is no longer available. We're going to use black ink.
Got to think about it. I'll get back to you after the break. KINS, News and Information Times, 8:30.
What could we do as a community to make Humboldt a better place to work and live? The answer is to make sure our kids are literate, able to plan financially, move forward in their education so they are better prepared to enter our workforce, and become contributing and productive members in our society, community, and economy. How do we do it? Through the Decade of Difference Initiative. Visit decadeofdifference.org and find out how you, as a parent, student, or business owner, can help. It's the Decade of Difference. Be part of it.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:36. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with John Dalby, CEO and President of Redwood Capital Bank. and a guy who's really fortunate, I think, after the break, that and is counting his blessings that I'm not on his board. Talk Shop, presented by CDH Painting and by Redek. John, the challenge with managing change, there's the anticipated change, as we kind of alluded to before. Mm-hmm. And then you've got the changing circumstances, got to do it, like by this afternoon, compressed timelines. Same process, different process in engaging staff and others, friends, family, whatever, with change.
Well, crisis management is simply certainly different than strategic management. And, you know, crisis management is, you know, there's a built-in assumption there that the change in environment was unforeseen. Is that a fair statement?
Yeah, I think everybody's nodding their heads on that one. Yeah.
Right, yeah. And so generally those, everybody understands those very, very quickly, and it's not not problematic. For instance, you know, if suddenly a system in your business, technology system, collapses and goes down, well, it's not a big leap to say, hey guys, we need to do things differently.
Yeah, we're not gonna break out the campfire and kumbaya on this one.
It's exactly. Yeah. And so, you know, that kind of change, or you know, weather conditions, or you know, a total eclipse of the sun.
To quote somebody.
Exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, those types of things, you don't have to go through a whole process, but sometimes you actually, let me do this. A system goes down. We don't know when it's going to come back up. Well, maybe we need to sit down and talk to everybody who's a user of that system and say, okay, what are our workarounds? How do we get there?
Yeah, the indeterminate nature of that.
Right,
yeah.
And in that way, you're now going through the process. The change has been put on us, but now we're going through the process of what it is, you know, what's the best way to work around. And for instance, if there's a problem on the teller line, I'd rather get input from the tellers on how we need to do this rather than have it come from, you know, my office.
IT.
I don't do it all the time. I don't do their job, and so I don't understand all the dynamics and the intricacies of it. So those, you know, that's
but you still need to have the buy-in from the uppers, that everybody's on the same wavelength. Again, I mean, we could use you guys as an example. You got two or three different facilities. Well, you need some consistency. You know, if everybody is down, if it's an internal thing, okay, team, how are we going to handle this across the board?
Right. Now, because we're so regulated, we have to have contingency plans for most of that stuff. So usually it's already been planned out.
So if the internet goes down, you guys...
We know exactly what to do.
And probably the same thing if a bad guy comes in.
Yeah, and or
you have a process already.
Or if tsunami wipes out our Eureka branch, we know exactly what to do.
Yeah, Fortuna would probably be impacted too. Yeah. Coming over 11. Yeah. Arcata might be high and dry. But, but so, those are things, though, that you have lead time for.
Yes.
Rather than the earthquake that goes bang, okay, and game on, here we go.
Yeah. Well, we have that contingency plan too. Sorry.
What sense?
I'm not much fun, am I?
No. Actually,
but everybody else. But I understand that the necessity there. That you know, when these things happen, you know, natural disasters, forest fires, road closures. You know, the one that
somebody
we all need
cutting
to have,
the internet line.
Exactly. The one we all need to have a contingency for is last chance grade. When that goes down, and we don't have an easy access to the north, you know, that's going to impact a lot of businesses, a lot of people personally. There's going to be a lot of challenges there. And you need to be thinking about those contingencies now. But that's a change that we all might have to deal with if things don't go well.
So as whether it's crisis management or whether it's something that's a planned evolution, better... And I suppose this wouldn't be dependent on the size of the company. Better to have one person who is kind of like the clearinghouse for everything, or groupthink?
Depends on the issue.
Okay.
It depends on the size of your structure or your institution. You know, so there's a lot of depends in that one.
Yeah, it depends. It's probably part of the process,
right.
Too.
Yeah. Yeah, if the toilets go out, depends are important.
Probably don't have that one in your plan, do you?
Exactly. So generally, somebody's going to have to make a final decision in a crisis situation. Yeah, get the input from everybody and then say, okay, here's the way we're doing it, and everybody needs to get on board. That is more crisis management than change management. You know, and I think of change management, I think of something that we're doing purposely to strategically deal with changes or perceived changes or possible changes in the environment.
KINS News and Information Times, 841. We'll be back with more from John.
What's the shopping show all about?
If you haven't listened to the show before, it's kind of tough to describe.
I guess the easiest first step is to simply go to the Shopping Show website.
TheShoppingShow.net.
And join us this Saturday for the next Shopping Show.
On KINS 106.3 FM.
KURY FM 95.3 and 101.3 in the Illinois Valley.
And KEKA 101.5 and 100.9 in Eureka.
Good morning, KINS, News and Information Times, 8:46. We're back to Talk Shop this morning with Mr. Dalby. John, the challenge with any change is you'd really love, everybody I think would really love to have everybody on board 100%. Rah, 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 this is a great idea. The epiphany, you could see the light bulbs going off in the room, and everybody's just all fired up and can't wait to do it. Okay, now reality tends to be a little less than that, less enthusiastic. And oftentimes there's two or three naysayers or folks that just aren't going to be there that either may go, me, 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 when you're not around, or the group isn't around, or will try to kneecap it to change. How do you deal with that gap between 100% acceptance and what reality is? Or do you deal with it?
So, again, it's an issue of magnitude, but let's just assume that the magnitude is significant, that you have an individual that is not embracing the direction, the new direction of your company. So going back to previous discussions we've had, I use this wheel concept for management, and it has five spokes on it. Those spokes are selection, clarification, train, measure. Okay, so we've selected the persons on board. Now we've clarified new expectations. Okay, so we're clarifying new expectations. So then we're going to measure those expectations. Did they meet them? Okay, train them if they need it. But if they're still not on board, if they're not on board, you go back to selection. They are no longer the right employee for your business because your business changed. And you're going to have to make that decision. I mean, that's a tough one to say, you know, gee whiz, you're really good at what you did, but we don't do that anymore. Happens a lot with the technologies of automobiles. You know, guys that used to wrench, you know, now have to know electronics. I mean, you have to be a computer programmer anymore to run things
evolve.
Exactly.
And things change.
And so your business has to change. And those are the tough ones, is the selection and going back and saying, okay, you're no longer the right employee for what we're doing. And you might have to have that difficult discussion.
Now, let's take that to a community decision. General plan, for example. I haven't heard about that one in the last little bit of time. An awful lot of energy and effort is spent trying to get 100% acceptance. Everybody's on board. We don't want any outliers. Nobody. Consequently, nothing happens. Is there a magic point where you say, full steam ahead?
That's a really, really challenging topic, and I am not even going to pretend that I know the ins and outs of the general plan. But with that said, at some point in time, it is the Board of Supervisors going to have to make a decision.
and didn't take you long to bring that one down, did it?
And live with the consequences, good or bad.
Well, and that's, I guess, the big thing is you deal with the aftermath after the decision is made rather than worrying about it prior to.
Well, I appreciate they're getting input. I mean, I really am. I mean, that's a positive. At the same time, got to make a decision at some point.
Like, bye-bye. Thanks for coming by. See everybody tomorrow.